Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk about anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. This is a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Thank you for tuning in on iTunes and Stitcher. Enjoy your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. Joining me, as always, a little bit further away than he's normally away from me, but my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Hey, Brandon. Hey, I'm in Dallas, Texas right now for work. They always say they do it big in Texas, but hey, we're going to do it bigger because the call invades Dallas.
That's right. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Yeah, you can't lose. Well, apparently we did.
Before we jump into...
Can't block, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Before we jump into... all the bad stuff, because if you listen to radio and other, you know, blogs and everything around here, everyone's going to point out what went wrong against the Packers. I want to start the show off a little bit differently. I want to talk about what actually went right. So let's start this off on at least a positive note. What was one of the things you took away from this Packers game that you were actually like, wow, look, this is what the Ravens should be doing. This is the way they should look like.
Defense. The defense played like that. Aaron Rodgers comes in, all pro, Super Bowl champion. We know he's a top five quarterback in the league. The highest paid to Silver Flacco. We all know that. Wow. To hold him to, one touchdown, and that one touchdown was just a big play, blown coverage. Wow. That says a lot. Holding the Packers to, the game's a blur. I was there, but it was just such a blur. I think, six first half points. It was just incredible. It's going to be defense. What I take away from that was the defensive performance. They put pressure where needed to. I mean, the timely runs they couldn't stop. A couple of key third downs and third shorts, they didn't get all them off the field to where, you know, they put the Ravens in a chance to win the game. But granted, it's all about defense. Defense played lights out.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the defense. That's why I wanted to start off the show talking about them. I was very impressed with Art Jones, Elvis Dumervil, Terrell Suggs, just to name a few. I really liked the way they played this year. And this team reminds me of, you know, the early days of the Baltimore Ravens and how this was a very defensively driven team. I mean, that's why Ray Lewis was such a huge part of this team, was because the defense was so important. And it's interesting to me, given the fact that after the Super Bowl, it looked like the Ravens wanted to put everything on Flacco and wanted to be an offensive team from now on. Then, you know, a lot of people leave. Anquan Boldin leaves. Dennis Pitta gets hurt. And it looks like they have to revert back to being a defensive team. Now, of course, the Ravens didn't come out on top against the Packers. But I got to say, I at least was impressed with the way the defense played and with Art Jones, Elvis Dumervil, Terrell Suggs, and their play. The one thing I do want to bring up, of course, we've talked about this a lot, is the secondary for the defense. Because even though I think they played really well, there was still some stuff that they have to work on. Lardarius Webb, I don't know if it's you. I don't know if you think this way. But to me, it looks like he's just not as quick as he used to be. I think all of those knee surgeries that he has finally caught up to him. But to me, he doesn't look like he's that quick anymore.
No, I mean, obviously, when you have each knee operated on, you're going to lose that explosiveness and quickness, and you're not the same player. Another person in secondary, Jimmy Smith. Great interception, great coverage, assault the whole way. Great. It happened right in front of us. Applaud the guy. It was great. He played it out of his mind. Can't say much. The defense, like I said, secondary, the linebackers, I mean, we could have... they had a couple of interceptions that they dropped. There are some little key nuances. They missed a couple of tackles. But overall, defense played lights out to keep us in the game. It just was a sad underachievement because of the game as a whole, how it was ended in frustration, disappointment, how the defensive play got lost because it ended up in a loss. And, wow, I mean, the whole time, you know, yes, we're all frustrated. We know what went wrong, and we'll address that in a couple minutes. But it's just, I can't gush enough and say this defense is gelling quick. Defenses usually do to gel quickly better than offenses, and we've seen that. And I, like I said, man, in the secondary, I have to feel confident going forward in the next stretch run here.
Yeah, so let's talk about the offense now. Let's talk about the stuff that really didn't work this past game. But the offense, it seems like they just aren't gelling well. But the one thing I do want to bring up is penalties. I mean, for the first quarter, the whistle, I don't even think it blew once for a penalty. And then the offensive line started making all of these big mistakes. Really, Marshall Yanda, two or three penalties in the span of 2 or 3 minutes. And after it was Marshall Yanda, Kelechi Osemele, you know, he gets another false start. I don't know what these guys were up against, what would make them flinch the way that they were doing, but they didn't look like themselves. And I'm a little bit worried, especially because Marshall Yanda is such a veteran. He should know better than to fall for some of these tricks and to get these stupid penalties.
Yeah, I mean, it's just uncalled for. I mean, he is right now the veteran that anchors the line. I don't know what's going on. It's atrocious, man. It's ridiculous. It has to stop. I don't know. I mean, did things really drastically change since last year's Super Bowl team? Did we really lose Matt Burke? And is it really that big of a hole? I mean, Brad McKinney, it's an understatement because he only played well in the playoff run, but he didn't really do anything most of the year. So really, him not being there doesn't really matter. It was hard for me to pinpoint how McGrow blocked for Flacco's blindside because I mean, being live there, you're seeing a lot differently than you are on TV, you know, up close and personal. But from what I could see, I mean, it wasn't look like Flacco's blindside was, you know, chased around. I mean, I don't know if it was Maroon's guy that caught that fumble. I mean, it was just, it was a lot of frustration, man. I mean, I actually did, I wish I had a videotape it at the end of the game. I seen grown men for a rant on Sunday. and I'm included, but it was just, the guy behind me kept going, what the heck? Like, you kidding me? You guys get paid? It was just, everybody was just up in arms, and then, like, our whole row kept just shrugging our shoulders, like, really? Like, you know, I could take a loss if we played our hearts out, played the best rated football we can do, and then we lose. Okay, it was a war out there, and the best two teams, you know, went at it, and one of them prevailed, one of them didn't. But when we just, you know, for the life of me, Brandon, I cannot understand. You know, I honestly, before I even get to this, I like the fourth down call going forward for a touchdown. Obviously, I actually called the game correct. When we didn't kick a field goal there and we went for a touchdown, did not get that. I said we're going to lose by 3 points and we lost by two, and I knew that was going to come back and haunt us. But in the grand scheme of things, that is not the play that lost the game or won it. I mean, obviously, if you add it up and we kick a field goal there, yes, at the end of the day, we would have won by 1 point, but it's besides the point. I like going for it. That's no glory. I actually backed Harbaugh up because I listened to his press conference. I liked what he said. He goes, we're going to be more aggressive going forward. We're putting pedal to the metal. I love it. You know, the running game has been atrocious. They should commitment to that. So what did they do? Line up for fourth down and goal from the one and try to run the ball. Yes, they got stuffed. I mean, hey, it was great defensive effort. But what I'm seeing here is, you know, the Ravens are showing that we're not fair. We're not taking 3 points at the one-yard line because the elite football teams, they punch it in. I mean, if we can't get it in, fine. I mean, but obviously it was a good turning point because they were way deep in the territory, and man, that stadium was rocking. Even the guy in front of me was like, "The stadium's pretty loud." I don't know what it was like on TV, but it was. I mean, I just got my voice back today. Luckily, I can do the show. Wow. I mean, it was great. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. Packers fans were there, some in front of me, but everything as a whole, I like the aggressiveness. But for the life of me, my point is, I cannot understand how our line isn't just moving everybody. The other teams are being more physical and moving us off the line. The reason why we're not running it effectively is because there's penetration. The defense is penetrating the line to where Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce cannot get in the second level and gain 4, 5, 6 yards a clip like Eddie Lacy was. Eddie Lacy was getting past the line and getting to the linebackers, in the secondary, and that's why they got to make these tackles. That's why he broke off a big 40-50-yard run. That's why Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice can't. You're not seeing that explosive running. It's not like they suck as runners. It's the lines aren't holding up. I mean, it's almost like this. If Flacco only has 3 seconds or less to throw a ball, and the line doesn't hold up, he's going to look crappy. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to hurry because he's being duressed. Well, the runners can't run because as soon as they get the ball, they're hammered. You can't run. I mean, you look at it this way, Brandon. A tailback starts 4 or 5 yards deep behind the line of scrimmage. They get the ball. They got to run 4 or 5 yards to get even yards to even get positive. So they're not even getting the line of scrimmage. They're getting blasted. So right now it's a more physical issue. I don't know if our line's too small, if we need more bigger guys. I even joked and said, hey, why don't the defensive line play, you know, offensive line for the Ravens? Maybe we'll move somebody because it looks like the defensive line for us moves people back and is pushing the line. So right now, when they say football is won or lost in the trenches, that is 1,000,000,000% true. It is won and lost in these trenches, and right now we're losing the trench battle on the offensive side of the football, and that's why we look mediocre. And I like Ray said, you know, back in an old quote he has, you know, piss off for greatness, we're not okay with being mediocre. Right now, the defense is playing lights out, but the offense, the offense wants to be mediocre. But again, and here's my rant. Going on the frustration part, we see it in the second half. It's like there's the urgency. It's like, where is this in the first half? You know, do we have to get down double digits for the offense? I mean, they went down in 3 plays, Vonnie Brown, Torrey Smith, and a Dallas Clark has touchdown. Wow. It's just like, where was this the whole game? You know, it was boom, 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 and Flacco played a great game. He threw over 300 yards again, 2 touchdowns, no mistakes. I mean, the fumble, yeah, he fumbled the ball, but, I mean, hey, Peyton Manning threw a pick six on Sunday. So, really, I mean, you know, you can pick your poison wherever you want to be, but it's just, you know, he played mistake-free football, throwing the football, and it just was frustrating to see how they missed the field goal, and then we give it right back. I did not like the call about going for it with 3 timeouts with 22 seconds left because, like Harbaugh said, well, that was the best chance. I disagree 100% with our head coach. I can see if our offense was moving the ball and we scored 20 points in the first half. Yeah, why not? But we weren't doing diddly squat with the football. You just kneel it, sit on it, we get the ball back at halftime, go in. But instead, we give them 3 points back, and then there you go. There's another turning point where we could have won by 3 because we lost by 2. So you don't know. I mean, you can really pick apart those under the microscope and look, but those 2 plays are magnified. But I tell you right now, I'm sick of the offensive line play. Something's got to change, and something's got to change quickly because on the road ahead, it's getting tough, and we'll preview that in a minute. But I got to tell you this, Brandon. How great was it to see Jacoby Jones back, and what an impact did he make? He looked great, or actually better than ever.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the shining lights here for the offensive line, and to get a touchdown on his first game back was great to see. I really miss Jacoby Jones. I'm glad he's off that party bus with Sweet Pea. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But it's good to have
him back.
Maybe
we need Sweet Pea to block for us.
Maybe.
We're working on a deal.
Those two big plays, you know, everybody's going to be talking about them, and it's good that we're going to address them as well. I sort of agree with what you're saying about going forward on the 1 yard line. If you want to be an elite offensive line, then you should be able to get that 1 yard and be able to get the 7 points. So I understand what you're saying going for it. I just don't have a lot of faith in this running game right now. I mean, the running game has not shown up the last few games. So I don't know if I would have went for it or done a running play at least for just 1 more yard.
What would you call there? Quarterback draw? Quick slant? What would you call there?
I probably would have played it safe, and I would have went for a field goal and gotten the 3 points. Just so, because back last year, the big thing was with the Ravens, no matter what, we're going to get points when we go down the field. So it was always, hey, we didn't get 7 points, but we got 3. We can come back. But now it seems like, I agree with what you're saying, because this is supposed to be an elite offensive line, that I like the fact that Jim Caldwell and John Harbaugh, you guys want to be elite, prove it. You know, I kind of like the fact maybe he is getting a little bit more aggressive, not just with the play, but with his players. I didn't think about that that until you brought that up. Maybe he's going up there and going, look, you just got a big paycheck. You gotta earn your keep now. You got to prove that you're elite. This is all on you at this point. You got 1 yard. You should be able to get it if you're an elite quarterback, if you're an elite offensive line. So maybe he's trying to be a little bit more aggressive with the players and with the type of plays that he's making. But for me, I would have went with a field goal just to get on the board and get those 3 points to make it a little bit closer game. But again, that's why I'm doing a podcast and I'm not a part of the Baltimore Ravens organization. One thing I do want to bring up about the offense, though, is the guy, the offensive coordinator who's running this thing, Jim Caldwell. I thought it was interesting during the game. The broadcasters brought this up, and I never really thought about this until last Sunday. But he doesn't even have a year underneath his belt as the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, he did lead the offense, you know, to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. So it looked like what he had last year worked and got him to the Super Bowl, even though he didn't, he wasn't the official offensive coordinator until about mid-December. Of course, when Cam Cameron was fired at that point. So maybe a little bit of this offensive line not gelling correctly is the fact that Jim Caldwell is inexperienced at the offensive coordinator spot with this team, because his team has now changed. He had a few months with the offense of last year and was able to get to the Super Bowl. Now he's the offensive coordinator of a brand new offensive line that keeps getting hurt and keeps changing. So maybe he's making all of these calls and trying to make all these plays, and maybe he's not comfortable with the line. Maybe he's the one that is still learning on the job. I don't know, but I found it very interesting. He's not even been there a year. He's already changed up the line so much. Maybe that's the reason why they're not gelling and not doing well, because the guy who's supposed to be leading them on the staff is not comfortable with them yet.
But what time limits enough time to gel? I mean, do you give it a full season? Do you give it two? Because obviously, you know, Cam Cameron never stays welcome. I think maybe 2 years passed. And that's my – I mean, I can kind of agree with you on that. But, I mean, it was like a breath of fresh air. But it's like, again, you have new weapons. But is Caldwell – is he going to coach the offensive line? I mean, that's why they have an offensive lines coach. That's why they have a secondaries coach. That's why they have a receiver. I mean, same thing in baseball. I mean, they got a pitcher's coach, hitting coach. I mean, the manager manages. Each sport has different coaches at that level. So, you know, yeah, Caldwell is the coordinator of the whole unit. But is he – my question is, too, and whether it's, you know, if you have an answer, I'm just posing it out there in general. Does Caldwell have a hand in what the offensive line does, or can he tweak anything? Because it just – you know, that's what you have to look into, because is he have the schemes and he's just calling the plays and the game plan, or is he going, hey, we're not doing this on offensive line, we need to switch it up and put someone here, someone here, someone here. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know if he has hands on that, but something's got to happen, because we need to shake up, because this next month of football, this is going to determine if the Baltimore Ravens are a playoff team this year or not. If we're for real or not, if we want to defend the title or not. What better week it is before we even get to that, because we don't know what this week is. But how about game balls? I want to give a game ball to Jacoby Jones. Welcome back, Jacoby. Caught a touchdown in his first game back. He's returned some kicks. He almost broke one there late. He had one early and one late. He got us up to the 30 and 40 yard line. If he'd just got one or two more blocks or got around the corner and had more sideline to work with, he would have had it. So I have to give my man Jacoby. You know, he got back a starting lineup, and what a breath of fresh air for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta say, for a game ball for me, it's gotta go to Art Jones for his work on the defensive end. I was very impressed with his work this past game, and Art Jones was not a name that a lot of people were talking about before this season, even though he's always made an impact while he was on this team. But Art Jones really has shined this year, and this past game, I think he really played one of the best games of his career.
Absolutely, I can agree with both of those. Game balls awarded where necessary, and now we get to the task at hand. This is one of our favorite things of the season, about the season. You know, you could probably say what we live for in Baltimore. We love to hate them, and we love to dish out some hate, but ladies and gentlemen, it is Steelers week in Baltimore, number one. Finally.
Now, you said Steelers week. I think you meant Steelers hate week is what you really meant to say at Baltimore.
Yeah, Steelers week. I think hate is, like, you know, rhetorical at this point because, you know, it's already in a love fest around here. I mean, they finally got their first win. What, it took them, like, 2 years to get? But, you know, look at it this way, Ravens fans. As bad as it is, we have more wins than they do. You know, they're in last place. They have one win. We have three. We have more wins than the Giants. So it's, you know, the Giants and Steelers are combined one for, like, what, 20? So, hey, you know, it's still, they're dangerous with Steelers. We don't want them to get number two against us because it's just going to be even worse. But I really can't wait, and we're in a primetime slot. We're at a 4:30 time slot on Sunday afternoon up at the little dump, kick a bottle, whatever their stadium is up there. And I really can't wait. You know, it's going to be fun. But here's the most interesting thing about this matchup, Rain. Both of their offensive lines suck. Both the Ravens and the Steelers. So which worst line is going to play better is the question.
That's going to be a big question mark because this is – I love this rivalry with the Ravens and the Steelers. It's one of the best rivalries in football, and it's always been so interesting because both teams – it's funny that the secondary on both teams isn't doing well because that's what made this rivalry so good is the fact that they were both very defensive teams and they both had quarterbacks that could throw the ball and do a pretty good job at it. And so it always seemed like they were always matched up right against each other. So even though the Ravens have more wins than the Steelers, and I think they have a better quarterback, and of course I'm not a Steelers fan. I'm a Ravens fan. But it seems like even though the Steelers aren't doing well, the Ravens aren't doing well either. But this game still is going to mean more to both cities because I'm glad that the Steelers won this past Sunday because if they were hunting for their first win and it was up against the Ravens, I think they would have played just a little harder than they would have against another opponent. So
I agree with you on that. I said that yesterday. I was like, when I saw the Jets lost, I was like, God, because I don't want to be their first win. I'm glad they got out of the way. So I agree with you on that.
Absolutely, yeah, and so I'm happy to see that, but this is going to be Heinz Field. It's going to be enemy territory. It's going to be hostile like any other game, but for me, I really got to say that, you know, Joe Flacco has to be on his A game, and the offensive line has to be on their A game. We have to protect Joe, and Joe's got to get that done. On the defensive end, I think they got to keep doing what they're doing, and I'll bring this up right now. My key player of the game, I've got to go with that doom and gloom, duo of Doomerville and Suggs going after Ben. Because if the defense keeps playing the way that they've been playing, I think Doomerville and Suggs are going to have a huge day, and I can't wait to see them going after Ben because you know Terrell Suggs plays a little bit harder whenever he's up against the Steelers because even though he's an amazing player, he doesn't like the Steelers just as much as any Ravens fan.
Of course not. I mean, you know, nobody likes the Steelers around here, especially if you're in for Purple and Black. It's just going to be one of those games. You know, Pittsburgh's trying to fight to get out of cellar. Divisional game, AFC game, big-time game. It's a big-time game. Right now, this game starts to run where, like, when I teased before how this next month of football is going to test the Ravens to show us where we're at, it starts with Pittsburgh, okay? Then we have a bye week. Then we got to go to Cleveland and then Cincinnati home. So we have three games in a row against AC North opponents. Two are on the road. So we're not back at M&T Bank for another month since the Backers game. So you have to look at it. And obviously, you know, we know that the Browns aren't going to lay down. The Browns are going to give us a hard-fought game, and they're on the rise, and they lost. And unfortunately, you know, the Bills didn't beat the Bengals in overtime, so the Bengals did win. So the team ahead at 4-2. It could have been an 0-3-way tie, which would have been great. So now, you know, we're tied with the Browns at 3-3, and the Steelers are 1-4. I tell you what, if the Ravens fall to 3-4 and the Steelers are 2-4 in our game, it's going to get a lot worse because we have to get – you almost got to go 2 out of 3, if not be 6-3, and have to win all three of these games. I tell you right now, the Ravens are already 1-0 in the division. If they win all these, and this is a big if they win all three of these games, starting with Pittsburgh on Sunday, wow, that would be 4-0 in the division, 6-3 on the season. That's three more AFC wins. That would go a long way. But if they can get a win in Pittsburgh and just get to the bye week with a positive 500 record, that'll say a lot to the team. That'll be a good positive vibe. We beat our rival on a road, and then we got to go and beat another rival in Cleveland, divisional foe, 2 weeks after that. So, and then got to rest in the bye week and rest up our players and starters. And maybe a breath of fresh air is what we need. Maybe they do need a rest. The offensive line can get it together. But this is going to be a war. I mean, you think Sunday was bad. This is going to be, you know, think helmets going to be flying. There's going to be flags everywhere. I think penalties are going to be issued. We don't like them. They don't like us. Harbaugh don't like Tomlin. We love to hate some Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I already started with the tweets and the pictures, and I've already sent you some bulletin board material. I mean, it's just going to fly. I mean, the teams could be winless and it would be epic, or they could be undefeated and it could be epic. It doesn't really matter what the records are, but I tell you what, at this point in the season, I would label this game a must-win for Baltimore, because if we go down 3-4 record and Pittsburgh wins and we have a bye week and we're sub 500, I'm telling you right now, unless they come out of the gate after, let's say worst case scenario, they lose against Pittsburgh, they need to come after the bye week and win like 4 out of the next 5 games, or it's pretty much, this will be the first time we're seeing Harbaugh, Flacco, and Ray Rice and company enjoying the off season without any postseason. So, you know, we'll see. It's really hard to put a gauge on it because it's funny. You know how the NFL works. Any given Sunday, anybody can win. If I look at my picks, I picked the Ravens to beat the Bills, and they lost. And then I picked the Ravens. It's so weird because I picked the Packers and then I went back and changed it to the Ravens and then they lost again. So it's like, but in the grand scheme of things, they were in both of these games, and I want to look at that. They could be easily 5-1 football team, but they're 3-3, and it's just, they just need this one little thing to get done. It's not like they got blown out. Besides the Denver game, they played a good half of football, and that they haven't gotten blown out. We have 2 losses. If you discount the Denver loss, which we got waxed, I mean, 7 touchdowns, can't overcome that. We have 2 losses with a combined 5 points. 3 at Buffalo, 2 against Green Bay. So if you look at that, that's little things that could have went wrong. If you do one thing differently in a game, and I want to put this, Brandon, the Ravens should do, and I would never tell professionals how to do the job. It's just me. My opinion is a brainstorming. But the Ravens have to look at themselves and go, what did we do better and what did we do wrong? And how we can correct that, because what happens is it's the same thing week after week. It's disgusting. Can't run the football. Well, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result. I've always said, if you can't run up the middle, why not start the field over on the outside? If you can't do that, do this. If you can't throw from under center, throw a shotgun. If huddle's not working, go no huddle. Do something different. And they need a shake-up. That's why I like Harbaugh going for a 4th down, because usually we, 99.9% of the time, we would kick the field goal, if not 100% of the time. We'll change it up. I was actually shocked to see Flacco start on the field, but I loved it. I said, let's go. Let's score him. Let's show him we're not afraid. Let's go up 7-3, and let's take him by the throat and really put the pedal to the metal instead of, let's just take our measly 3 and see what happens, because every time we take 3 in the red zone, we end up losing the ball game. I remember years back, I think it was 2009 or 8, when we lost to the Bengals, and it was 21-9 score. We kicked 3 field goals, and they had 3 touchdowns. That's the difference. It's, you know, the elite teams or the good teams versus, you know, going from good to elite, put 7 on the board instead of 3 every time. If Justin Tucker's kicking 5 field goals a game for 15 points, that's not going to work. But if Flacco's throwing 4 touchdowns a game, we're going to beat people 80% of the time. So, again, we need to correct it. It's going to be a war zone in Pittsburgh. I can't wait. We got the 4:30 time slot, so it's going to be a little later game, so we get to enjoy the afternoon games a little bit. And we know how this game's going to happen. It's going to be a slobber knocker, physical, a hate fest. It's on the road, and stupid yellow towels going to be waving. But we've been successful. I think we've won the last 2 or 3 times in a row in Pittsburgh. My memory serves correct. And it'll definitely the last 2 years we've won there, and we swept them. So, right now it's not an invincible place to play. It used to be for us, and we couldn't win there. It was every time we went in there, we couldn't win, and we couldn't win, and we couldn't win. But, let's see if we can get after Big Ben. The matchups are going to be our D-line against their O-line, and can our our own O-line hold up against their defense? And, you know, it's going to come down to, hey, it's going to be in the trenches. And, you know, I think comes to mind, I don't know if anybody knows this, if you've heard the popular song Pop Evil has it called Trenches, that song comes to mind. That might be the song of the week for the game theme, because it just, you know, we got to dig in. We have to dig in and hold our own and be more physical up front, or we're going to lose this football game flat out, and we're going to go, oh, why are we 3-4? Well, why don't we start blocking for a change? Maybe then we'll start winning some football games. So I think everybody's got to look themselves in the mirror this week and really say, what are we made of? Because right now, I mean, I'm seeing flashes of Ravens football, but, you know, the offensive line's not playing like a Raven. So, you know, they need to be a little, we need a little fire up or something, because, you know, we can't tolerate this much longer, because we're going to start losing.
Yeah, you know, you pretty much said everything, and the only thing I really want to add is, look, I firmly believe the Ravens will come out with a win on this, and it is going to come down to the very bitter end. But there's something that's kind of interesting. Even though this season has been very, very weird for Ravens fans, and had a lot of people scratching their heads about what was going on, except for the Denver game at the very beginning, there hasn't been a complete blowout. You know, there hasn't been anything that the Ravens couldn't come back from, or at least tried. I mean, if you look at that Buffalo game where Joe Flacco threw 5 picks, and you know, it didn't look like Joe Flacco. The Ravens only lost by about 3 points. So even though he threw 5 interceptions, they still were only down by 3. So I firmly believe that even though this team does not come out on top all the time, and it doesn't look like the most polished plays out there, they know how to end a game, and they know how to stay in a game. Even though at the very beginning of the few games that we've seen so far this season, it doesn't look like they know how to start a game, and they kind of come back in the second half and really start showing up. I think that the Ravens are going to be able to come out on top due to the fact that maybe this week is going to be different. Maybe this week they'll look at the Packers game and realize what they have to do better, because this is Ravens Steelers. It means a little bit something more to this team because of that rivalry. This is the week to figure everything out. This is the week that they really need to get their act together, and they need to start playing like the Ravens need to play. And that's what I want to see. I want to see this team who doesn't really want to give up and tries everything they can. You know, the Buffalo game, again, was only down by 3 points. This Packers game, you brought up that you liked the fact that you went for it on the 1-yard line on 4th down. So this team is definitely willing to take shots. And I think that's important, especially with a team like the Steelers. You need to be able to take shots, and you need to be able to get every inch, every yard, everything you can out of these players, because that's what's going to be important. You're going to win, you know, by the inches in games like this, because it is going to be, you know, it is going to be nose to nose. It is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. Neither of these teams want to quit, but I like the fact that the Ravens have tried this season to win every game, and I'm glad that, except for that Denver game, of course, that the Ravens at least look like towards the end that they're trying to win every single game.
You're right too, man, and that leaves a glimmer of hope too, because it's not like they just lay down, oh, well, we're going to lose another one. They're trying at the end, and they're showing the efforts there to win the game. So, you know, you have to give it the credit where credit's due there, and the effort. You know, they're not laying down totally, and you couldn't say that any better. Wow. If you look at it as a whole, that's right. You know, if the effort's there, we're going to get a win. It's just you got to do these little things correctly. You know, success or excellence, I did hear, you know, there's a saying that it's a lot of little things done right or correctly in succession. You know, it's not one big play. We don't need one big play or need a pick six or need this. It's just, you know, let's just get a first down. Let's just run it for 4th and 1. Let's run it for 2 yards for a touchdown. Let's, you know, 9 times out of 10, usually get a touchdown there. Well, that was the one exception. We didn't get it, okay? Well, we have an opportunity on Sunday to do it. It's going to work out for us. It's going to be okay. You know, right now the season's not lost. We're still on the hunt. We're game out in first. Take care of business against, I mean, the Bengals are on the Bengals. I mean, They had to beat the Bills in overtime. It's not like they beat them soundly. I mean, they had the only epic game they had was the comeback against Green Bay, which they did beat the Packers. So, I mean, other than that, it just shows you how the league works. So the Ravens need to take care of business. I really can't wait to rip apart Steelers because I'm going to predict a 27-20 score, I think. Actually, I'm going to change my score prediction. I say 2013 Ravens are going to go down. I think it's going to be a big defensive contest, but there's going to be some scoring involved. Ravens are going to win by touchdown. It could be even a 10-pointer, but I'm going to keep it single digits and say 7, not 3 points. Ravens do prevail, go to 4-3. Into the bye week, we need much needed rest from all this frustration and aggravation. So let's just get away. Let's beat our bitter rival. Let's beat them. Keep them in last place where they belong. Have another win in Pittsburgh. Let's get a road win. And more importantly, let's get a nice division win against the heated rival, Pittsburgh Steelers. And I really can't wait because we all love to hate them. And I really can't wait to see the matchups and, you know, if we can get after Big Ben. So it's going to be a war. I'm going to be wearing my Sucks shirt, my Steelers Hate shirt all week. Really can't wait, man. I'm going to represent in full.
All right, if that shirt's lucky, make sure you do not wash that shirt either.
Not tied for the game.
All right, well, did we miss anything?
Not a chance. Not a chance, baby.
All right, well, you know, this is going to be a big week for the Baltimore Ravens up against the Steelers. If you want to talk to Josh or I before the game, while the game's going on, tweet to us. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Josh is on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
Now, thank you so much for listening to the call. There's many different ways. Make sure you tell a friend. Let them know that they can listen on iTunes or on Stitcher or on thecall.brandocash.com. Check us out on any of those outlets. You know, if you have an Apple phone, if you have an Android device, or if you're at your desk and you're bored at work, there's plenty of ways to listen to the show. Best way you can help us out, let people know about the call. You know, go be social on the web. Let them know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let everybody know that the call is the podcast to listen to here in Baltimore. And if you're away from Baltimore, this is a great way to stay connected with the city and with the Baltimore Ravens. So make sure you're letting people know. Also, write an iTunes review for us if you are a subscriber on iTunes for free. Just write us a review and help us gain a little notoriety in the iTunes world. So that's pretty much it for us. Josh, take us out. It's Steelers Hate Week. You know what to do.
Steelers Hate Week it is. Ravens Nation, we need to rally together because we're desperate. We're 3-3. We're feeling pretty reeling against that devastating loss against Packers, but we're not down and out because we're resilient and we come back. And this is the time to come back. What a better way to come back than Steeler Hate Week. We're going to go up to Pittsburgh. We're going to go with that swagger, that attitude. And we're going to come back. We're going to come back with a win and we're going to be up all 500. Let's believe Baltimore. So let's go. 1, 2, 3. Let's beat some Steelers. Let's go Baltimore Ravens. Fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.